Kidding, all right,
let's get it popping, please.
Let's get it popping, Daddy. I'm Rachel Roberts.
And I'm Megan Segura.
And you're listening to The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Okay, I don't think we have time to talk about anything but the news.
Right.
Because there's a lot of news.
No booze.
No booze. Nicole, hit us with the news.
All right, all right, all right. I have something real hot. So the biggest piece of news we have is Carol Radziwill announced that she will not be returning to Roni after 6 seasons. And she announced this on Wednesday, July 25th, 2018.
A date to go down in Bravo
history.
What did you think?
I was not shocked.
Right, same.
Because I do feel like without B, can you have C?
Mm. I more so just felt like I was seeing her lose
her
the joy of the show.
Yes.
A little bit. Like maybe it was a little too hard, everything that was happening with Bethany.
And right.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, too. It's just like without... She doesn't have that.
Yeah.
She has Tinsley, but she herself is like, we weren't best friends or anything the way her and Bethany were.
Yeah.
So you don't have that like ride or die person with you.
I also really wasn't surprised after going to the reunion because Bethany and Carol were going at each other so hard that I could just see that frustration on Carol's part, like not getting her point across or not feeling heard. So.
Right. And so I guess this is even worse than... Writer girl, you didn't write your own book.
Oh, Aviva Drescher, yes. Era drama.
Yes, yes.
Well, as you said the other day, you're going to miss the blogs the most.
Really, truly. No one writes a blog, I think, or a blurb, as she sometimes called them.
Yeah.
Quite like Ms. Carol Radziwill. We've read a couple on this podcast before.
Yeah.
And
not in their entirety, because that would be a whole episode.
Would be a whole episode just reading her blog. But yeah, she spins quite a yarn, that one.
Yep.
Speaking of writing, do
we... Oh, look at Nicole with the transition.
That's me. Do we want to read her statement?
Yeah. Yes. Let's read her statement.
Okay.
After 6 seasons on Bravo's Real Housewives of New York City, I have decided to return to what I do best, journalism and producing. I am sure this does not come as a surprise to any of the viewers, all of whom have been supportive, encouraging, and kind. I enjoy her use of an Oxford comma, just as an aside.
Okay.
My original curiosity about reality television has waned over the years, and I am focusing on TV and writing projects that better suit my more steady temperament. I have worked with amazing producers, made great friends, and I'm thrilled to leave frenemies behind. I will remember this entire experience with delight, humor, and a voracious accuracy. Next.
Yeah, I felt that last voracious accuracy was...
That's what I'm going to be missing. Yeah. Voracious accuracy in her blogs.
Yep. A little dig in the statement.
Ugh.
Well, did you see Ramona's response on Watch What Happens Live?
No, I didn't. Tell me what it is.
This is what she said. I'm sad because I love Carol inside and out. I think she's really warm, special, down to earth, truthful, giving, kind, supportive of women, genuine, smart, fabulous. I'm like, wow, there's going to be a void.
I'm like, wow. That's how she would say it.
I don't know why that surprises me because, I mean, I think Ramona has been more on Team Carol versus Team Bethany this season, but at the same time, were Ramona and Carol ever that close?
I would say no.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, when you have a friend group, you have, like, people on the outside of it.
Yeah.
That Ramona and Carol were like, yeah, you hang out together all the time, but you're not, like, best friends.
Right.
So. But she's going to feel a void.
She's going to feel a void.
A voracious void.
She did not say that.
All right. So keeping the news in the tri-state area, Daniel Staub is experiencing... quote unquote, some difficulties with her marriage 2 months after tying the knot.
I saw this.
Wow. 2 months. I have to say, I was at Danielle's house before she got married filming something, and Marty was just in his office, nice as can be. He introduced himself, lovely man.
So, and it's not like all of a sudden she was back on the show and things turned, you know, because Vicky was just in the office actually talking about how the spotlight can be harsh for a partner.
Right. I don't know. At that time, it seemed like things were fine. And they had just finished filming her first season back. So.
Right. 19 times.
I know now. 20 it'll be 20 times.
I hope they work it out.
Me too. There's still hope. It's not a divorce. It's just a
She seems so happy when difficulty. She was in the office.
So some happier news. MJ Javid from Shadows of Sunset is undergoing IVF treatment.
Yes!
No, I'm say so happy. Her name the other way.
Okay. Mercedes yes. Javid from yes. Shadows of Sunset is undergoing IVF treatment.
Mercedes. I like how Mercedes. You say it.
Mercedes.
I'm so excited for MJ and Tommy.
I know.
I feel like they're going to have a really funny kid.
Hell oh yeah. Oh, my God. Hilarious.
I hope it... are we the same what? Today?
What's happening?
Ooh. But yeah.
I can't be happier for her. I hope it goes well and there's like just all the little Shaws that we can have.
And I hope that this baby brings MJ and her mom closer.
Right.
And then like MJ mend some things, mend some wounds.
And MJ and her mom and Tommy.
Yes.
How can, like, you know?
A family unit.
Yeah.
Solidify it.
What do you think they'll name it? Will it be a Persian name or will it be Tommy Jr.?
Well, if it's a boy, maybe they'll name it after MJ's dad.
Oh, I felt that.
My heart. I felt that. That was good. All right. So Luann De Lesseps gives an update on how she's doing after her return to rehab. And she posted something on Instagram, actually, on Saturday.
What'd it say?
She said, "Thank you so much for all of your support. I wanted you to know I'm doing great."
So she's doing okay. We hadn't really heard from her since she decided not to go to the reunion.
Right.
And go into rehab.
Right.
So this is like her first. And she got to choose it, not Ramona.
Right. Good call. Good
yep.
call.
Yeah.
So yeah, yay. She's doing good.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's all we have for news. Oh, you mean like.
Did she say? Was that all that was in the post? What was the picture? Was it just her smiling?
Luann also announced that she'll soon be resuming performances for her cabaret show. Her next performance is actually on August 4th at the Paramount in Long Island.
You're burying the lead because the best part is that it's a video of her various cabaret performances is what she's going out with.
Oh, montage.
Yeah, it's like a montage of moments.
I have to say, this just proves Luann's love of the cabaret knows no bounds because she's not going to let a little thing like rehab get right. in between her and the show.
But I get it. This is a show that needs to be seen by yes. as many people as possible. Right. As someone who is gone, like she is just giving the world art. She can't keep that her light under a bushel.
Well, you know, I always say this. The show must go on.
Right. Right. You do. You know, that's so funny. I know I'd heard that before and it's from you.
Right. I coined it.
Right. So, yay, Luann. Stay healthy. Stay happy. And on that stage, all the world's a stage.
Oh, boy.
All right. That's all the news that I have.
All right. Should we talk about this week's shows?
Yes. Okay. It happened, you guys. Ashley Jacobs actually came out of her dressing room.
Wouldn't it have been amazing if they did that whole, like, that Jimmy Kimmel bit with Matt Damon, and they always run out of time, so Matt Damon can't come on?
Yes.
You're just like, oh, shoot, and the reunion's over. Sorry, Ashley.
Well, I don't know if you caught it, but they had already been taping for 4 hours before she came out.
Do you think she was there for all 4 hours?
I think maybe she came at, like, the 10, 11 o'clock hour.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to guess.
Yeah. And they didn't let her listen to what was happening on stage.
I know.
I think that's better.
Because she would have gotten maybe even more riled up.
Right.
Because it's not like her name hadn't come up already.
How do you think she did?
You know, I think that what everyone was saying is that we had Catherine season 1 through 3 maybe sitting in front of them.
Yeah.
It was just so reminiscent of that.
It was like at times she was really remorseful and then at times...
But I'm not saying that those weren't still feelings that I was feeling.
So you believe everything you said at that meal?
Yes.
You do?
Do you want me to lie and say I didn't mean it?
It was like, whoa.
Yeah. But it just really did. So I went back and I looked at a couple of reunion moments or like moments from Catherine. And I felt like the way that she was treating Catherine is a lot like the way Catherine was treating Landon in the very beginning.
Mm.
When she yelled at her at that dinner party and was like, you don't belong here. This has nothing to do with you. And I say that much like the cast was saying, what is the common denominator here?
Thomas.
Yeah. So I walked away from the reunion. I thought I was going to be like spicy and saucy. And I walked away sad. And it really just, I worry.
About Ashley.
About Ashley.
I agree.
And I think that's where everyone was at.
Right. Because even, you know, we saw Cameron's heartfelt apology to Catherine in this reunion and how she felt so bad for the way she had treated her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, is that going to be Catherine a few years from now toward Ashley?
Right. Are we going to see this whole thing again?
Right.
And then you bring me to something that I wanted to talk about. This might be like the crew as we know it now moving forward.
Right.
Whitney's kind of gone.
Yeah.
We don't know if Thomas will come back or not, if there's another season.
Right.
What do you think will happen? The show is in such a different place now.
Well, I think because she's so divisive, I would want to see Ashley come back.
I would too, but I would want it. I would hope that maybe she learns some things. But I don't know. That conversation with Thomas on the phone seemed like they're just going to stay in their little unit.
That was crazy, that phone call.
It was insane. Just no remorse, I think.
Right.
And I think that's what they were all looking for and all wanted, and there was no remorse there. But I do think Craig said it best when he was like, to put it simply, you're brainwashed.
Mm.
And those are Craig's words, not my own.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's what was going on, because who knows what she's heard from Thomas.
I will say, at the end of the day, I think the biggest takeaway is Thomas has no more friends on those couches.
Right. That became very clear, I think, at the reunion. Definitely. And I also thought it was also a testament, again, to just Catherine staying calm and collected, just being very direct with her words. I love the moment that she was like,
you're a complete asshole. As their mother, I'd like you to not be around my children because I feel uncomfortable with it. You are an unkind, hateful, sadistic person. And unfortunately, if you need to have this message delivered to you like this, I will deliver it. Thank you.
Yikes.
Yeah. So, but if she's going to be around,
yeah,
I think we're going to have to find out.
No matter what, Southern Charm better come back.
Yes.
And it better be soon.
Right. And Shep's the oldest one now, as he mentioned.
Weird.
Did you catch that Catherine was like, just my type?
I did. That made me laugh.
Oh, my God. Like, that's what I want. I walked away from the reunion being like, I'm sad for Ashley. I've never wanted Catherine and Shep to be together more. Craig and Naomi still have a lot of stuff. I think they still, like, you don't hate unless you care.
Right. But. And I was just going to say, because I don't know if you know this, Nicole, but the opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference.
Right.
Who said that?
Tyra Banks. I was going to say Plato. I don't know.
Or in Rent, it's creation.
You guys are teaching me so much.
Right. So, yeah, at the end of the day, I know that might be controversial to some people, but I was just sad for, I think it was someone, Eric, who you might remember from the Eric J. Mack, Erica Jane moment of the week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mentioned that he had just watched the Scary Island episodes and they got to a point with Kelly that Sonia was like, we can't talk to her. She's not in a place that she's going to hear us.
Right. It went from being totally angry and upset with her to being like, we need to take care of this person.
And I feel like that's exactly what happened at the reunion. They were all, at the end of the day, when she left, they all turned to Andy. They're like, are she going to be okay? We're really concerned about her.
Right.
And Craig said, it's not your fault.
Charleston's a small town, yeah. Ashley, and from what we hear, y'all do not have a happy, wonderful relationship. Like, from what we hear, it's pretty volatile and not good.
And not your fault.
One last thing that I thought was shocking. When Chelsea said that she had heard that Thomas threw food at her and was yelling at her on the street.
Oh, my God. By the way, you know that happened because when they asked her, she didn't say, what are you talking about? She goes, okay, he didn't throw the food at me. And it was like, okay, then you know it's true.
Well, I had a client that saw Thomas and Ashley outside arguing back and forth to the point that he had thrown his leftover food at her and say, you're gonna send me back to prison.
I know. And then she was like, she was blaming it on herself. Like, I was being rude that day.
No, he did not throw it at me. He was upset because I was leaving. And I handed him the food, and I was being a brat. It was my fault. I was being a brat.
Ugh. The Daily Dish actually interviewed Ashley, so to hear more about her experience at the reunion and just this season, click on the link below. It is fascinating.
Oh, but we also had talked to Austin about the reunion when he came in, and we held back some stuff because we couldn't spoil it. So we're going to have him talk about that whole Chelsea interaction.
Yeah. And you know what? Oh. Based on talking to him, I thought he was going to hold her feet a little harder to the fire.
Well, maybe they didn't get to show it all.
Maybe.
Yeah. Because I agree. Like,
that was holding her feet to the fire, Austin?
Yeah.
So he just kind of gave up.
And he also talked about Craig and Naomi. So here that is.
It went from, kind of like I said, it went from, like, you know, me being angry, like, what the hell? I'm like, I'm going to get after her, right? And then I said it in my head, and I was like, you're not going to win favor with anybody, you know, like, on these, like, on the couches or, you know, or anybody if, you know, you start, you know, like, attacking her, right? And then she's like, oh, well, Austin, I feel like we did get to talk, but I just don't know if it all got resolved. I really don't, you know, because the whole, you know, cheap thing and you know, the whole, like, I don't understand, you know, she's like, well, Austin doesn't have a job, you know, which is why I thought that it was like I thought that we were on, you know, the same page. And clearly we just really, really weren't. You know, Craig and Naomi was definitely an interesting one. Like, Craig can't stand Naomi.
Because when he was in the office, he was like, never say never.
Hurt.
Right.
Hurt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, you know, yeah, so, like, they have this whole thing, and you know, it's definitely interesting to hear it.
Well, are you currently on your own, or are you in a relationship?
I'm seeing somebody.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it Chelsea or Victoria?
It is not Chelsea or Victoria.
What? Is it Lauren Morgan?
Well, look, Chelsea's been seeing someone, too, for the past while, unbeknownst to many people. You know, and I almost don't blame her, right?
Right.
You know, people find out, and then, you know, the questions start, you know, kind of like, you know, Naomi and her new beau. She's getting lots of, but yeah, it's someone that's been friends with a lot of these people for a while, and as is with any relationship that I'm in, it just kind of happens, you know? I'm not seeking, it just kind of happens.
Have we seen her on the show?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go back to the tape.
Right. She was at Cam's baby shower.
Okay.
In season 3, she was doing Landon's hair at one point. I think it was season 3.
Does she work at Chelsea's?
No.
No.
No, no, no. She owns her own.
Where my mind went first, I was like, JD's wife?
Excuse you.
We were like at the baby shower. I was like, oh, well,
it must be.
No,
Chelsea's very small.
It's not Liz.
I think we could not talk about this week without mentioning Real Housewives of Orange County going to Mexico.
We're going to Mexico!
This is what the show is all about.
Yes.
If someone were to say, can you encapsulate what Real Housewives is in a 30-minute clip, I'd say, here you go. And it would just be the mashup of Shannon welcoming the women to Puerto Vallarta with a tray of shots.
Bienvenidos a Puerto Vallarta!
We're
going to
whoop it up!
Are you kidding me?
No, put it on, Cardi. Put it on!
Okay.
Is it rest on?
I really feel like the shots!
Sick. Oh, okay, my gosh.
Whoa, watch your head!
Right. You would then go into the women taking more shots at the hotel to Andalés with Tamara flashing the crowd with her nipple cover still on.
Okay. Thank you so much for solving that mystery for me.
You thought she didn't have nipples?
I was like, why doesn't she have different color
can
pixels?
Can we title this The Case of the Missing Nipples?
Yes, can we? Because I was like, why are her nipples the same color as the rest of her body? Are they really small? I had a whole thought process about her nipples.
The only reason I really knew what I was looking at is because last season she went shopping with Vicky and one of them fell out of her top. And you see
right.
it. And so I knew, oh, she's a nipple cover gal.
Right, right, right. That is great detective work.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. I was worried. I don't know. I didn't know what
You're
I was
like. Well, she
at.
I already know she doesn't have a belly button, so maybe yeah.
Maybe it just who knows.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for solving that
You're
mystery
welcome.
For me.
The drunk conversation while eating tacos.
Yes.
I'm good, Tim, and I'm so grateful that you guys are here with me having fun.
I want you to be happy, and whatever it takes for you to be happy, I will.
give it to you.
We've been them. Where's Archie?
That is every drunken night with good girlfriends.
Right, because you're pointing out the best moments because there's so much nuance in all of it.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. Tamara brings up Brooks, which just don't say his name anymore. Right.
He who must not be named.
And then Vicky's like, yeah, well, since Brooks, I can't let my guard down. And Tamara goes, you should. And Shannon goes, I don't think you should. And Vicky's like, don't. You don't know him. She's like, I'm sorry, but I've seen you in love. This isn't it.
Not to be mean. I'm not being mean. Not in a mean way.
It's not in a mean way.
I'm so guarded. I'm so scared. I love Steve.
You need to put that guard down.
But
I don't think you do.
I'm questioning the whole relationship.
Don't do that, Shannon, because that's not fair.
You haven't spent time with us. I don't mean it in a mean way.
The best.
I mean, and then fast forward to...
Yes.
She just falls naked. With the nipple covers.
Just again. The fact that the women, the cameras go outside and discover Tamara fully naked spread eagle in the hot tub.
Just living her best life. Like I've never seen Tamara happier than leaning back in that jacuzzi.
And then Shannon comes out in her Spanx, which is the best.
The best thing in the whole world.
And then Tamara says... It smells good in here.
I didn't catch that.
So unless I misheard and she said it feels good, I think she just...
It feels so good in here.
But maybe she thought that, but said it smells. And then when she broke her foot...
I might have hurt my foot.
Like, broke my foot, maybe?
What?
Because you could see on her face, that was about 15 shots in, and she still was in that much pain.
Well, I think it was more like, this hurts. I shouldn't feel anything. It was that realization of like, I must have really hurt myself because if I'm this drunk and I can actually feel this, I think I broke it.
So she sent in a blog and said that she went to the doctor and she had cut it split down the middle, like just... Clean cut.
God. I knew something was going to go wrong when they were just jumping around in this like 2-foot jacuzzi. Like, you can't dive into that.
Right.
Oh my God. It was so, so good. And then tequila tasting.
Right.
Because then you got real, you know? That was like such a moment.
Oh, the next day between Shannon and Vicky. Yeah. Mm. Honestly, I don't need the drama. I know some people think that The Housewives, it only survives because of arguing. But I think this episode shows, no, I could do like a whole season of this.
Right. Just that.
Just that.
Vicky in Mexico.
Yeah.
Is that a new series?
Maybe.
Okay, we're pitching it right now.
But speaking of the Queen of Andalays herself, we talked to Vicky. And we talked about this Andalays trip, how it compares to the others, what she thinks of Brianna. Moving across the country and more.
Well, we are here with the OG of the OC, Vicky Gumbelson.
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Oh my God, this is like a career dream for us.
Is it?
Yeah, you're the OG.
So what are we doing here? We're doing a podcast.
Okay. Digging into like what's been happening. We talked once before on the phone, but you were on your way into Coto Insurance.
Probably.
And we were like, yes, this is probably. Peak Vicky.
Yes.
Probably. Somebody's got to do it, right?
Yeah.
Right. So we have to start off with... Where is your love tank today?
It's full.
Oh, good.
Yay. Didn't you see my hot boyfriend?
Yeah, yeah. He's passing by as we're talking.
He was going to the men's room. So, yeah, no, everything's great.
Good. Happy.
So, finally, everything's good. Everything's normal. I love it. I was in a very chaos mode a couple of years ago, but everything's great.
Awesome.
Everything's the way it should be.
Smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So, we want to dive into this Mexico trip.
Okay. So, did you see the episode?
Yes.
Good, isn't it?
It's oh my God.
It's like, that's what we are.
Exactly.
We are friends. We love to whoop it up. We might have been overserved. I mean, we lost track on counting. So did you love the counting?
The counting was great. But also my favorite part is you on the couch while they're skinny dipping. Right. And you're like, trying to keep it together,
and
but
I
you can
really
also
want
see.
To go in, like I had the devil and the angel on his shoulder, like go in, get naked. And you're like, no, don't do it. Steve will kill you. Like, no, no, my kids will kill me. Like, go in, get naked, be stupid. I'm like, no, don't. Like, it
you
really
can
was
see it on your face. It's so funny.
But also at 56, I don't think the world needs to see this body. I think
I don't
we're
know.
Good.
I think
I'm
it would have been fun.
Yeah,
I have fun. Without getting naked.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if I had Tamara's body, I would definitely get naked. She spends her time at gym and I spend my time at Kodo Insurance. So right. You know what? That's okay.
Yeah.
So on the scale of all your Andalés trips, where does this one rate?
Well, it's one of my favorite trips, especially because we were with the girls, you know, my good girlfriends. And there was really no drama, which is what I'm all about now. I am over it. Like, I put a pin in it. I'm over it. I don't want problems. I want encouragement. I want positivity. I want just good friends. And I, you know, somebody had said I broke girl code. I didn't know there was a book about girl code. And you know, we all just had a great time. So Puerto Vallarta, if you guys haven't gone, actually I'm hosting a trip there in December. So did you hear about it?
No.
So it's for 4 days, 4 nights, 5 days, beginning of December, so I'm going to whoop it up with my fans. So we still got some rooms
left.
What? Yeah.
So we could go and whoop it up?
You could go, and you can have the total experience with me. So just go to my Instagram. But anyway, I'm not doing anything other than the fact that a lot of people have always said, like, I want to go whoop it up with you. I'm like, okay, then I'm going to do this trip.
That is amazing. Right.
Yes.
So we're going to whoop it up.
So can you clear something up for us? Mm-hmm. Do you own part of Andalés?
Not yet.
I know. Okay. You need something.
Yeah, please. If I talk about that name anymore, I'm going to throw up because they are out the door, lined up. They had coasters with my names and face on it. So I had talked to the owner at one time about becoming. He's like, well, why do I need to give you any of our proceeds when basically we've already used your name and the cruise ships are coming by now and coming in? I'm like, no. So I've thought about opening my own Whoop It Up bar, a country. I want to make a country bar in Mexico, in Puerto Vallarta. So
ooh.
I'm looking for an existing restaurant or bar that really wants to do an overhaul, and I want to be part of it. And I want to license my name to it, and I want to just have so much fun. So
yes.
I have the whole idea in mind. I just have to make it happen in my spare time.
Oh, right. You give so much of that.
I'm so tired. I know. So no, I don't own any of it. I just have fun there.
Well, when you were watching this Mexico episode, how much of it had you already known was going to happen?
Well, I knew what we filmed. I didn't know what was going to air.
Because I asked, because we talked to Tamara and Sheena, and they were like, I have no idea what happened.
We actually, when we went upstairs and when Tamara was lap dancing Shannon, there was actually strippers that came out, but thank God they didn't show the strippers.
Male or female?
Male, of course.
Okay.
But did you see when I got done kissing Shannon afterwards? I'm like, I don't know how the girls do this. And no disrespect to, you know, same sex gender relationships. I just don't understand it. Like, she kept wanting to kiss me. I'm like, you know. But it was fun. It was a good experience. We bonded over a kiss. So
yeah. Well, speaking of kissing, we are seeing some single ladies this season. Mm-hmm. Who do you think has more game, Shannon or Kelly?
I think they both have game. I mean, they're a generation apart. And, you know, they're both beautiful women. They both have a lot to offer. And so I'm not going to say one or the other. That would be very mean of me, and I'm trying to be very nice. They both have game. They're both great people. They're on a reality show, which is going to be difficult for anybody to date them because, you know, you have to be open to sharing your life with that person if you want a long-term relationship. But Shannon's just having fun now. She's doing good. And I think Kelly's doing the same. So, you know, I think they're both quality girls.
Have you found struggle with dating, with having someone have to be open?
Well, when Steve asked me out to lunch about 2.5 years ago, we met at a Boys and Girls Club. He didn't know I was on a reality show. And then somebody asked us when we were at lunch if they could take our picture. And Steve's like, why do you know that person? I said, no. And he said, well, why would they want your picture? And I said, I'm on a little reality show. I had to break that to him. He goes, what does that mean? I don't watch reality TV. I said, it's okay. but I'm on a little reality show. And then we went to dinner a couple days later, and then somebody else wanted my picture, and he was like, I don't understand what's going on. I'm like, remember that little reality show I saw? Some of my fans want to take a picture. So he didn't really understand it until he turned it on. Then he was like, why do you do this? You're crying, you're screaming, why are you doing this? I'm like, I'm doing it a long time. So anyway, it's not a normal life. So you have to be with a really strong man, which I am.
Well, when we were talking about the fact that we're going to interview you, one of our friends is single and said, ask Vicky how she gets guys. Mm-hmm. What are your tips? Because you never seem to have a problem attracting men.
Well, no, you know, I think it's all a divine intervention. I don't go out and look. I center myself around quality people. So charity events. I don't go to bars very often because you're not going to find, I mean, you may find a quality man there, but I want a charitable man. I want a man that's a family man. I wanted a strong man. And it just, you know, I did it on my vision board 3 months prior to meeting him, and it was exactly Steve Lodge. I mean, there was exactly Steve Lodge appeared. So I think you have to pray about it. You have to, you know, put out to your world, to your universe, to your God, whoever you pray to. But I think for me, it was, I demanded and deserved a quality man, and I wasn't going to settle. And, you know, I had settled in the past, and I wanted it. I wanted it, and I prayed over it, and I wanted it, and I got it. It's asking you shall receive. It's the secret. It's whatever you wish to do. But I'm going to surround myself with people that are of quality. I don't care about the money. Truly, I don't. I've got money. Not that Steve doesn't, but it wasn't something on my forefront. A lot of these women that I'm socializing with want to only date men that have a big net worth. Well, with that comes problems, right? So I believe that. I don't believe that anything is free. So they could have exes, children, money problems. Like, I don't look for that. I look for the heart. I look for the quality of the man. I look for family, the things that really, really matter. Money doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm. How did it feel in Mexico when Shannon and Tamara were kind of saying that they weren't sure Steve was the right guy for you?
Well, they didn't know because we had never gone out with them. Steve is very private. He doesn't really trust the TV as being a good indicative of who you are. So they had never really met Steve. They both said they clarified it in their blog. But the truth is they didn't know Steve. I was keeping him away, and I still am.
Yeah.
There's no point in having them have an opinion because their opinion, quite frankly, doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is me, my happiness, our family, our children, our grandchildren, our life that we're building together. And that's what matters to me. I don't really care what other people think anymore.
Mm. Speaking of like quality men, when Tamara was in the office, she was talking about the men Shannon was dating, and she was a little concerned that they aren't necessarily quality. Have you met anyone Shannon's been dating? Or
I have, and I don't have an opinion on that because I don't know them. Mm. I mean, it was a hi and goodbye. So, you know, I would hate for them to start talking about me because they don't know me. So I'm very careful on my words, the older I get, on having an opinion on anything. I know Shannon's a smart girl. She's having fun. She's dating. And who cares? She'll find out, hopefully not the hard way like I did. But she's not moving forward and getting engaged and getting married. She's having fun. She's dating. She's traveling. And more power to her. It really stinks being alone and without a date in Orange County because most people are married or with a significant other. So I'm encouraging Shannon, just have fun. Just have fun. Let somebody buy you dinner, open the door for you, court you. And if you don't like them after a couple months, move on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's looking at it as a big, serious situation. But I don't know. Maybe Shannon or Tamara knows these men more than I do. I don't know them. So I say, Shan's of quality, she's going to choose quality.
Well, we heard Brianna we're not going to see so much this season.
Not at all.
So what can you tell us about her?
So Brianna, in November, when we had cameras were down last year, has decided to move to North Carolina for now. Hopefully it's for now. That's where Ryan was born and raised. He was in the military from Camp Lejeune and was gone for a while. Now he's retired, disability Marine. And they wanted to try something different. Instead of raising their kids out in Orange County, they wanted to try country life. And so they bought a beautiful home, brand new home on 25 acres.
Wow.
Sprawling ranch with an upstairs that's Nana's quarters.
Aww.
And they're happy. And so although it breaks my heart every day that she's not here, I have to support her, because what had happened was I wasn't supporting the decision. And then she said, Mom, it's my life. And I said, well, no, actually, it's my life. I gave it to you. So by the way, it's my life and you are living in my life. But I could tell she was so adamant about making a big move, East Coast. I still don't understand it. I love Orange County. But I had to support her and just try to get out there. So I've been out there 3 times since November. She's coming next week for 5 days. And I'm just going to try to keep my mouth shut about why I don't like them living there. But Troy and Owen have their own bedroom, and they have their own sippy cups and their own plates and the big pool. And my home is meant to have children in it. It is not meant for a single woman. So if she can commit to come a couple, 3 times a year, and I'll go to her, we'll make the best of it until she decides to get her ass back in California.
So that's the goal, back to OC.
That's mama's wish and hope. And I, at the end of the day, I need my daughter happy. And if she's happy out there, breaks my heart, then I'm going to figure out a way to make it work.
And is her health doing okay?
She has lupus. We almost lost her a couple years ago. That was one of the biggest fears I had in my life while I was filming. It's my oh my God moment. And she was super, super sick. Got a very, very bad infectious disease from the hospital. They almost amputated her leg. The viewers don't know all this, but she was extremely sick. And put her in City of Hope, and she was there in isolation for a month. Viewers don't know this, but we can share it now because she survived it. But it was horrible. So now she's being treated for lupus out in University of North Carolina, which is actually where she works. And she's an ER trauma nurse, and so she's getting good. They have got a great lupus center out there. So if God brought her out there to help her get through this, and that was the good thing from it. She's feeling better. She works full time. Ryan stays home with the babies, and Troy and Owen are just incredible. They're 4 and 6 almost, and good people. Oh, good people. I know.
That's so happy. Glad to hear, because I feel like we know you, and we feel like we know Brianna. You know, so
well, everybody knows Brianna. But it was interesting. I was back at her house a couple weeks ago, and Troy said something. Blah 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 blah. And she goes, "What did you say?" He goes, "Yes." She goes, "Yes, ma'am." And I'm like, oh God, you're starting the Southern thing already. She goes, yes, the boys are going to know yes, ma'am, no, sir, and very proper. So they are raising their children in the Southern, you know, Southern way.
Interesting. So,
which is fine.
Yeah.
I just want them to be respectful people, you know.
Absolutely. So. And the OC's in the South too, right? Technically.
No. We are so West. We are so far West. Due West, girls.
Well, we're getting the wrap-up signs. So yeah. We have to let you go. But wow, not one negative thing.
No, I'm good. You know, I never have ever wanted negativity on my show. When I started this, it was supposed to be about positivity and having a documentary of us living in the OC. So unfortunately, went sideways for a little bit. But my goal is to keep it positive. It's got to be. There's too much negativity in the world.
Yes.
So. Absolutely. Well, I'm so thank happy. So yeah, much. Thank you. I'm so happy all your girls are happy again, too, and friends. It's been so fun.
I just
got to
keep it this way. Yes. I just got to keep it this way. So stay tuned for a great season. It's going to be fun.
Yay. Okay. Thank you so much,
you're welcome.
Vicky.
Good to meet you all.
So moving on, we also talked to Captain Sandy.
You did.
I did, which was amazing. We saw a very different side of her this week, because she's usually like easy breezy Sandy, like she doesn't get too riled up about anything.
She was on fire this episode.
I can't even look at you.
And then really took it out on Conrad. And yeah. But then I thought it was sweet that apologized to him. I was like, look, you got the brunt of my anger. It's really toward Hannah.
Right.
I hope she talked about that with you.
She did. She talked about that. She talked about Joao and Jezebob. And she talked about what happens when guests hit on her.
Ooh.
Yeah, a lot. It was a crazy, I literally was sitting there being like, oh my God, I hope we can use this. So enjoy. All right, well, we are here with Captain Sandy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. Congrats on your second season.
Thank you. I'm hoping to get a lot more love than negativity.
Yeah, I mean, that's surprising because I love watching you. Do you get a lot of negativity?
Well, it's interesting because the different platforms, I think Twitter is more of the negativity, and where you have Facebook and Instagram, people seem to be more positive.
I feel like maybe because you're the boss, it's easy to be negative to you.
You know, sometimes it's a little hard to witness. However, I decided I just don't look at Twitter anymore.
A lot of our Bravo Loves have learned this lesson. They're just like, I can't do it anymore. I can't feed into it.
And I have to think, like, why do people go there?
Right.
Maybe they've had something happen in their life. So I'm a great forgiver, which to me is the key to life. And also, I also think that kindness is the first response.
Mm.
It should be the first response. Just be kind, because you never know their backstory.
Right. You never know what's going on, really, or why they're acting that way. Do you apply that to your captaining?
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, I always give crew the opportunity. I always describe it like this. You have my full trust when I meet you. I trust you until you make the mistake where you break that trust. And then you have to earn the trust back.
Mm-hmm.
I give them 3 tries.
3 strikes and you're out.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you, did you have any hesitation coming back for a second season?
I'm a real yacht captain. Of course I have hesitation, because you think, oh my God, what is this doing for my career? But at the same time, I look at how many Americans it's reaching and how many people I'm inspiring, and also opening up our yachting industry to people who really want to work and may love to have a job in yachting and respect it. Because for me, I feel blessed to be a yacht captain. It was a lot of work, but I also respect our ocean, respect the seas, and I respect the people that employ me. And I want crew that actually want to work in the industry and not a segue to something else. It's okay to have a segue. However, when you're in an industry, I don't care what it is, give it that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what I would like to see for my crew.
Did you always know you wanted to be a captain?
No, I fell into it.
Really?
I'm a Pisces. I grew up on the water. I grew up with water skis on my feet. We always had a little boat, not a big boat. And I always say this, I was a lost kid, and I just, you know, getting kicked out of school. I didn't go to college. I fell into this job washing boats. It was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because from there, I just excelled. And then I found someone who put me to, you know, sent me to school and believed in me. And I became a yacht captain. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because even watching the show now, people are always surprised when one of the deckhands is a woman. So I imagine for you it must have been just as hard, if not more so.
You know, I think in Europe, in America, it's easy because we have more opportunities here. When I arrived in Europe in the year 2000, I worked for a billionaire Arab. When I drove in, I was on a 92-foot motor yacht, and I remember docking in Barcelona, and everyone was watching. And I didn't get the respect from the men in business, so the shipyards, where I had to do business, if I walked into their office, they always gave me their secretary, and it's like, wait a minute, I need to, you know, get quotes for certain shipyard, you know, visits or whatever, work done. And I didn't have that. And so it was a struggle. And I just kept persevering and was still kind until the point where I couldn't be kind any longer. And I just had to stand up and say, I'm taking this 5 million euro job to a different shipyard.
Mm.
And that's when things change. You know, it's all about the money. I don't care what anyone says.
You
know,
I love that.
When you're like, they're spending money, you have all the respect.
Right.
But
right.
It took time. It wasn't, you know, overnight.
Right, I'm sure. I can only imagine working your way up through the ranks would take time for
right.
sure in that industry. I wanted to get back into this season. You said you were very vigilant with everyone. Hannah and Adam, when they were in the office, said that as well and said you really were kind of hard on them. Do you think that you were hard?
I think my expectation of returning crew, they should be raising the bar like I raised the bar.
Mm.
So if you continue to perform at a level that you did last season, that's a problem for me. Because last season, I wasn't impressed. This season, bring it up a couple notches. You're back. You've been given another opportunity to prove yourself to me. So I don't care if they don't respect me. They have to respect the position. And that's really all I want, is to show up for your team. If you have people under you, be a team leader. Team leaders don't disappear. They show up. They're leading. They're in front of your team. Now, Adam, I think, like most chefs, they're very sensitive. And I think he did a great job. He's doing a great job. I admire Adam in pushing. He's pushing himself to the next level. I've witnessed that. Now, yes, if I mention the word service, he takes it personal. And I don't consider food service. I consider food food. Mm-hmm. So if I go to Adam, I think the food sucked or the food wasn't up to par, then that is a direct response to Adam's performance. If I talk about service, that's a direct response to Hannah and her team. So Adam got really confused when I said service. Mm. So, and I'm not I give accolades constantly throughout the day. But when I have a tip meeting and I'm addressing service and Adam takes it personal, that's when he needs to say, wait a minute, this isn't about me. I know I did a great job. She's not saying the food. She's talking about service. And that's where he has to make that distinction.
Have you had talks with him about that since, like seeing how, like an interview, how sensitive he's been watching the season?
He's sensitive.
He is.
He's so sensitive. And I do. I care about him. I love him, actually. I think he's a great guy. We are friends off the show. But when he's on board, he's a chef. I'm a captain. And that's, I can make that distinction. The reason I have people call me Sandy when we're not in front of guests is I want them to feel relaxed. So I think Adam's learning. Adam's learning my way, how I am. I'm not going to, you know, change as a captain. I've been doing this a long time, how I speak to people. But what I do learn, which is the teachable moments, is maybe I explain to Adam, when I say service, you hear food. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying. And I think he is getting that.
It's a lot of like interpersonal relationship management as a captain, not just like you're doing that, but then also like driving this giant yacht.
I think they forget. I think because I make it such a relaxed environment and I'm kind, they take it as, I don't know, weakness, that it's just, I make it look easy, but it's not easy just because I don't show my stress or I don't show the intense shoulders I have, or, you know.
I'm seeing them. They're very great.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I remember thinking once I was underway and we were in really rough season. All the crew, it was 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, the darkest hour. We took a wave. All the crew came up and they go, we're afraid to be below deck.
Oh, wow.
And I saw all these eyeballs. And I remember thinking in my mind, please, God, let the welds hold together. Because when the boat shudders, when you hit a wave, these waves are massive.
Right.
The Mediterranean is not this calm sea. It comes out of nowhere. It's probably the most angry, unpredictable sea to ever navigate.
Wow.
And I just remember closing my eyes going, please, we need an anchorage. And then we found an anchorage. It wasn't a great anchorage, but I was able to anchor.
Oh, wow.
But you look at those people and you think, oh, my God, that's the stress. And then the next day we arrive, we have to turn it around for a charter.
Right. And the next day you have to be like all smiles and like,
exactly,
as if it never happened.
Yes.
So it's like a level of stress that I do not know personally. Oh, I want to talk a little bit about the rest of the crew, like the new crew. What was your read on them? You say you always give people chances. We see Conrad maybe kind of starting to slip right now.
Mm. Yes. Of course I give them. I mean, they're new.
Right.
I mean, they're new to yachting. Are you kidding me? It's like aspiring captains or engineers or chefs. I want to support them. When they come in with a know-it-all attitude, that's when I just try to talk to them and say, come on, this is where you're learning. Take this knowledge that is free to you. You're actually getting paid. And be a sponge, not a know-it-all. And I think in Conrad's case, he's had a season under his belt, and he comes in with this arrogance that isn't working for him.
Mm.
And he is also like a deer in headlights when it comes to Hannah, you know, and I see that. I have had several conversations with him just saying, please, just keep your head in the game. We're in a season for a little bit. You're going to learn a lot. Let's just stay focused. And he's having a hard time.
Yeah. Did you know there was so much tension between him and Joao?
I didn't see that. You know, I can only speak on what I see. All I saw was Joao working constantly. I never did see their arguments, but I didn't see Conrad working. I saw Conrad walking to the bow with Hannah smoking.
Mm.
And so when we were docking the boat. Where was Conrad? Lying on the dock. I mean, come
right.
on. Am I going to chase him? No, I'm not. I mean, right. that's Hannah's his demise, and it's not Hannah's fault. It is not Hannah's fault. It's Conrad's responsibility to take care of his job. And if he wants to be a leader, then lead. Stop laying on the dock. Right. Flirting with the chief stew.
Right. It's kind of like an active noun, right? Leader isn't just like you're a leader and that's it. You have to do it as well.
Exactly. Expect, you know, when we have a boat coming in next to us, I would expect the bosun to jump up and be right on it. He didn't.
Right.
You know, Joao did.
Right.
That's the difference. So that's what I witnessed. So that's what I base it on. I never met Jezebob. I don't want to meet Jezebob. I told Joao, not want to meet Jezebob. Jezebob does, because, you know, I would walk downstairs and I would see the crew just not talk to him.
And you'd be like, what is going on?
Why? What have you done?
Jezebob.
He told me about Jezebob. And his mother is Jezebel. So he said his mom is the same. So Jezebel and Jezebob. So,
oh, my God. Well, it sounds like they might have some fun together, Jezebel and Jezebob.
I don't know. I'm like blown away.
Yeah, it must be weird watching it now and seeing Jezebob come out, only hearing
it
about
is.
Him.
I'm blown away because the person I witnessed was not that person.
Right. Is there anything else? Like, it must be such an eye-opening experience as a captain, seeing these moments that you usually don't get to see.
It is. And then I think, oh, my God, I want them back so I can help change their trajectory. Like, I just, because he is, you know, everyone in my line of sight, when I see them give it their 100%, I want to propel them. What I witnessed with Joao is that he did. And no matter what was going on that I didn't witness, his attitude was always positive. He was always gracious and grateful. And I didn't witness that with Conrad. He was the exact opposite.
In a similar vein, you seemed not that concerned about Casey's lack of experience and her a little bit fibbing on her CV. In retrospect, watching maybe her lack of experience, do you feel differently?
I did not witness Casey's lack of motivation in the beginning. If I would have known that, I would have sat her down. That's when the department head should come to me.
I was going to say, exactly, even with Conrad, shouldn't he have come to you about
that? Absolutely. And I think what happens is they think that they're it. I'm not sure. I am approachable. Ask me for advice. Mm. Come sit with me. I really want to help this person. How can I do that, Captain? I will give you my experience from all the crew I've had over the years. And there are some crew I've had to let go, but I try not to fire people because they're there because they want to be there.
Right.
And I didn't know Casey was, hey, listen, obviously she was a little princess. She couldn't she couldn't even do her own laundry. I'm sure that doesn't feel good to her. So how do we make her, you know what inspires people when you get positive accolades? When you say, oh, my God, that was a great job. It's like an animal. When you're training an animal, you give him a cookie when he sits. You give him and he wants to do it again. And it's the same thing with human beings. We inspire them. And, you know, Casey, she was sick. And there was a point where I was considering letting her go. Not because every time I saw Casey, she was very positive. Yes, I had to show her, this is how you vacuum. This is how you vacuum the floor. This is, you teach. Mm-hmm. And not people think the super yacht world, you're always going to have experienced people. Well, you're not. If you do, then everyone's going to be a boss. Mm-hmm. And this is the opportunity to train someone and change their trajectory. And I would hope Hannah would do that.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about just your life in yachting. What's like the craziest moment you've had on the sea?
There's many.
Yeah.
I've had so many, and I always go back to the fire. You know, I've had 5 fires. I've been chained to the dock because of a tow. You know, I was taking on water. Wasn't even a fire.
Oh, my God.
The shafts, the propellers that spin under the boat, there's these long tubes. They're called shafts that go through to the engine. They go through the boat. Uh-huh. There's a cutlass bearing around the shaft that has to stay cool. When that thing heats up, it starts to melt. Water starts to go in.
Oh, my God.
So the shafts could be 5 inches. That's huge, round.
Right.
Imagine water pouring into the engine room. Now, when the engines stop running and you're in rough seas. It never happens in calm seas.
Right,
when,
right.
When the boat's moving up and down, the fluids are sloshing, the props are working, the cutlass bearings are heating up. They're water cooled. Mm. There's something stuck in the filter. They're not cooling. I'm taking on water. I know I'm off the coast of Italy. I go to all the insurance seminars because the insurance companies determine your, you know, captain. They'd say approved or not approved. And we're taught to ask for a Lloyd's contract when you call for a tow. Now, okay. Italy is known for claiming salvage. So when a boat is claimed salvage, the insurance company has to pay. They could keep the boat.
Oh,
they could pay
God.
5 million euros, 10 million euros.
So you have to, like, negotiate in a crisis.
So I saw this guy. I was towed in. They claimed salvage. We were chained to the dock. I had a charter on the line. The owner's not liking Sandy at all. That's my job. I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is all my fault. But
yeah,
it isn't.
Yeah. Right.
So next thing you know, I see this guy 10 years later at an event. And he goes, you know, we're still fighting. They
no
still
way.
Haven't settled the claim. Is that insane?
That is insane.
But they got it down from millions to 250,000 euros. So.
That's still an incredible
So those are the craziest things. Like, yes, I've had, you know, owners with requests to women.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I remember seeing a captain, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're anchored off of Cannes, and he's got all these women in his boat. He goes, I'm getting too old for this shit. You know, and he's trying to get them back. I'm like, this isn't your boat.
Right. What
you know,
are you
and
doing?
I think the captain's drinking or he's tired or whatever. But he was like, it's kind of funny when you witness it. And
people
are there just for a good time, and the good time can also turn into not a good time.
Right, definitely. We do this thing called Sophie Stambury's Choice, which is like a Sophie's Choice.
It's Sophie Stambury here. Get the tunes on because I'm ready to dance, bitch.
If you were stuck on a desert island, would you want Conrad or Joelle there with you?
I think I would have Joelle. Only because what I've witnessed.
Yeah.
And he has big muscles. What can I say?
He'll help you out on the island.
And he's from Zimbabwe. I think he has survival skills.
Right.
Well, you know, you take survival skills or posh England.
There's a little bit of shade, Sandy.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I want to survive. I'm in a desert.
Right, it's
I'm
true.
Not, you know, ask me who would I take to, you know, a nice event.
Oh, well, who would you take to a nice event?
What between which crew?
Let's do Hannah and I was going to say Brooke, maybe Casey.
Hannah. Yeah.
Why?
I mean, why? Because I think Hannah has the social skills in a setting. I go with what their qualities are. So I would take someone who could carry a conversation. I haven't spent time with Casey. I'm sure she can. I've never had a conversation with Casey from what I've witnessed on television. It's, you know, Hannah's traveled, so it's nice when you have someone who has traveled.
Right.
You can talk about different places, different nationalities.
Would you take Adam instead of Hannah?
Yeah, I think I would. I'd take Adam. Because Adam's a guy. I would want to have a guy. You know, so you have that yin-yang. So
right,
I'd take
right.
Adam.
Absolutely.
And Adam, he's fascinating. Come on. He creates this amazing food off of a rock.
Right,
you know,
I know.
And he goes and catches his fish and... He's incredible, and just the drones and the footage, and he's a kind spirit, and I like that. Adam's kind, and he's philanthropic,
right?
And I like those people when they get outside of themselves and they give back.
He had some difficulty last season with, like, boat romances. We're seeing it again this season. Have you ever had a boat romance?
No.
Aww.
Have I ever been approached? mostly by clients and owners and owners' wives and of course.
These are the crazy stories, Sandy.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yes. And I have many of those. And I just go, oh my God, I gotta go to the bridge. I mean you just think
oh, what was that? There's an alarm.
There's an alarm.
That's so
I'm
funny.
I'm on anchor watch. Or I don't know. Yes. Many times. I had one that was completely nude, invite me to open their safe. They couldn't open it, wanted me. I walked in and I was like, you wanna put a robe on and go in opened the safe. They needed something out of it, and there was nothing in the safe. And said, will you mind sitting and talking to me? I'm really depressed. And I'm like, no, I'm so sorry. Come to the bridge. I'll talk to you to the bridge.
Put some clothes on.
Oh, my God. I've heard so many crazy stories. I've had, you know, clients, like, inappropriate with my crew to the point where I've called the charter broker. So it happens.
God. Oh, my God. I want to talk about that forever, but we have to go. One final question, and you don't have to answer. But did you end up using the womanizer that night?
No. I would never give Jennifer Berman that satisfaction.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time, okay. Sandy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Captain Sandy. You were so candid. I was surprised. I can't wait to see what happens for the rest of the charter season. I hope all is going well at sea. And bon voyage.
Let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
My rose for the week is when they were breaking down Robin's place on Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
Giselle being like, I'm not giving Sherman his Jay-Z tickets back. Because I was like, yeah, you don't. You don't give him your tickets back.
This is for Sherman asking for my Jay-Z tickets back.
Oh, no!
What?
Yes, he did. No way.
I'm not giving him back.
Oh, yeah. She looks so pretty. Ashley Darby just walked by.
That's what happens at Bravo HQ.
That's what happens at Bravo HQ. Yeah, I thought that was funny. So I asked her about it in her blog. And I was like, did you end up giving his Jay-Z tickets back?
And
she said she did.
Why?
No.
Yeah. And then she said, Giselle has 99 problems, but Jay-Z tickets aren't one.
Mm. I would not have done that.
No.
Oh, yeah. I actually just went to the On the Run tour.
How was it?
Life-changing.
Wow.
I now love Jay-Z because of Beyonce.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I, like, forgave him for everything he did
to
her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Big moment. So, yeah, I'm very surprised that she gave away those tickets. I mean, she probably is going anyways. Probably
but
already won.
Still.
I know. I would keep those tickets.
Ladies out there, don't give them back.
Don't ever give back Beyonce and Jay-Z tickets if you have them.
Yeah. Let me read you the quote. So this is what I asked. Did you ever give Sherman those Jay-Z tickets back? And she said, ha, of course. In the words of Jay-Z, I got 99 problems, but tickets to a concert ain't one.
Meaning I can afford them.
She's saying she can get them anyways and doesn't need a man.
But yeah, she doesn't need your tickets, Sherman.
But also, like, should have kept them.
Right.
You don't need an engagement ring, but why would you give it back?
Right.
Mm-mm.
Zsa Zsa Gabor said, I've never hated a man enough to give him his diamonds back.
Mm.
Yeah, deep. He's pretty cool. What was your rose this week, Megan?
Also Potomac based. It's that Bravo was not letting Karen away with anything in this episode. First, you had her talking about her relationship with Matt, and she said, oh, well, I've known him for 20 something years. And then Bravo immediately played a clip where she told the ladies, I've known him for 12 years. And then they put up a big question mark graphic.
I did, in fact, because I love Shaq.
God, that was over, what, 25, 24 years ago?
How long y'all been friends?
12 years.
Which I thought was amazing. Like, they're just fully calling out Karen for lying.
And that they really don't know, I think.
Yes. And then they had her talking about, well, of course I live in this house. Of course it's mine. But she's walking around what looks like a model home. There
right.
are no knickknacks out on the kitchen.
Right.
Everything looks staged.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, heavy lens, I would say, on this week. POV is strong from the
yes.
producer's perspective.
Right.
Shady.
Yes. Shady.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was when Shannon and Vicky were talking, and Shannon said, well, you know, David and his
mistress
had this ritual of drinking tequila together. It was like their thing.
And that's why for a long time she couldn't bring herself to drink tequila.
And then they're having this tequila tasting. It just made me, like, so mad.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 years ago, I wouldn't even sip tequila. It was David's
really?
New drink. And I didn't know that he was having an affair at the time.
Oh.
And that was their thing. They would drink tequila. I shared 20 years with a man. And he took me on a trip, and then all of a sudden we come home, and he was done.
It just broke my heart. So that was like a deep thorn.
I had two thorns.
Okay.
All right. So on Southern Charm Savannah, you have Haygood, who has already said, who has already said in a past episode that she used to dabble in witchcraft a little bit. And in this episode, she decides to play a trick on everyone and pretend to drink boar's blood. It's actually just beet juice with vinegar to hide the smell. But no one knew that. So she's drinking boar's blood and then asking everyone else to do it. And they all do it.
Not one of them says, no, I'm not going to do it.
So they all think they're drinking boar's blood.
Before we go out into the woods, we're going to all pass this around and take sip of this wild boar blood.
Who does that? The diseases you could get. Am I crazy? That's not insane.
Maybe it was one of those things that you're like, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I guess I'm going to, she's saying to do it. I don't know.
I mean, peer pressure at its finest, I guess.
Right, right, right.
Group mentality.
Right. How happy were you that it was beet juice?
I mean, super happy, but also just like, you
monsters.
You monsters. You lemmings. Like, what? Okay. My other thorn, and I was actually, my parents are in town, so I was telling my dad that the ladies of Real Housewives of New York go to Cartagena and they're on this terrible boat trip, but then they get food poisoning, and at the end of the episode you see a cleaning lady scrubbing the mattress, and he goes, oh, they threw up? And I go, no dad, it wasn't throw up. That was my thorn, because that's disgusting.
Oh god, I hope they left a very big tip.
Well, we want to know what everyone else's rose and thorns for the week were. Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish. And you can always tweet me at Meg Segura. Oh, and find me on Instagram, too.
You can find me at Rachie Robb on Twitter and at Suspiciously Small on Instagram. Nicole.
And you can find me at...
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss.